Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 3, Chapter 23, Text 55. That's our verse this morning. Devahuti's Lamentation is the title of the chapter. Devahuti is speaking. She's speaking to Kardama Muni after tens of thousands of years of living together, husband and wife. And she's lamenting her position of having been attached to her husband for material purposes and not recognizing his spiritual merit, his spiritual quality. She's wasted all that time. She's speaking this way. Then she's saying that fortunately, because you are the spiritual personality that you are, now let that attachment that I have for you in a material way be transferred and transformed into a spiritual attachment and thus become spiritually benefited. The previous text, 54, not knowing your transcendental situation, I've loved you while remaining attached to the object of the senses. Nonetheless, let the affinity I have developed for you rid me of all fear. Abhayayame. There's a nice verse in later cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how fear arises from attachment to the temporary, the impermanent. Just by nature, attachment to the impermanent gives rise to fear. Because the reality is, there's no certainty. That anything in this world is stable. We'll say it the opposite. There's certainty that everything in this world is unstable. And being attached to that which is unstable, by definition, by nature, it gives rise to fear. And the position of fearlessness is attachment to that which is stable, or sat, that which is eternal, ever-existing, unchanging. To impersonalists, they like the sat feature of the Supreme Lord, without acknowledging the personal feature of the Supreme Lord upon which the sat feature rests. The Bhagavatam is going straight to the Sat Chit Ananda feature of the Lord, Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha feature of the Lord, and Sat Sangha or Sadhu Sangha is the association of those who are attached to the personal feature of the Personality of Godhead in the highest sense. In less complete sense, those who are realized in Brahman, or those that are striving for realization in Brahman. That's a generous, sometimes Prabhupada was generous in that way. Um, in Rishabhdev's teachings, Ahor Vimuktes, the dwaram, the gate for liberation, is attachment to those who are in the position of transcendence. And Prabhupada speaks of both the devotee and the impersonalist. In any case, back to this. The position of fear, she's appealing to her husband to help me go beyond the position of fear. I mean, much later chapters in this canto, he leaves. And now she's feeling another fear, the loss of his association. And the remedy for that feeling of loss of his association is given by her son. Devahuti's son, Kapila, gives the same remedy, association with Sadhu. So it's chapter 23 and chapter 25, same message, there's reason. By attachment to the transcendentalist, one becomes free from fear. Text 55. I'll just read. Even if one is not advanced in knowledge simply by association with a great saintly person, one can immediately make considerable advancement in spiritual life. The purport of 54. 55. Association for sense gratification is certainly the path of bondage, but the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge. Same as that sentence I read from the previous purport. In this one, purport, the association of a saintly person in any way bears the same result. For example, Lord Krishna, which he's not just a saintly person, but Lord Krishna met many kinds of living entities, and some treated him as an enemy, and some treated him as an agent for sense gratification. It is generally said that the gopis were attached to Krishna for sense attractions, and yet they became first-class devotees of the Lord. Kamsa, Shishupal, Dantavakra, and other demons, however, were related to Krishna as enemies. But whether they associated with Krishna as enemies or for sense gratification, out of fear, or as pure devotees, they all got liberation. That is the result of association with the Lord. Even if one does not understand who he is, the results have the same efficacy. Association with a great saintly person also results in liberation, just as whether one goes towards fire, knowingly or unknowingly, the fire will make one warm. Devahuti expressed her gratefulness, for although she wanted to associate with Kardamuni only for sense gratification, because he was spiritually great, she was sure to be liberated by his benediction. Now, it's not that she wanted to associate with him simply for sense gratification. From Narada Muni, Devahuti, daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, heard about Kardamuni, and hearing about Kardamuni wasn't, oh, he'll be great for sense gratification. There's a theme that the verses of Bhagavatam and the verses are narrating a story, so the story, the Purana, the history, is to help us understand an important lesson or principle of spiritual life, association, and developing, through that association, developing attachment. Because that's what happens we associate with our cell phone and become attached, or associate with our shoes and become attached, or something, become attached. Then on a personal, not just an object level, we become attached to a person. And if that, the same, previous verse, the principle of association with the transcendentalist leads to going beyond the allure of that attachment. It's the bhakti principle. The bhakti principle has the potency to break away from the conditioning of our habits, our conditioned habits. The mind just keeps again and again going to those things that we're attached to. And at different stages of life, there's different. So our Krishna consciousness is, by regulation, by sadhana, to take our attention to activities that are in relation to Krishna and in association with persons who are similarly in their relationship with Krishna or striving. That's the power, like standing near a fire makes one warm. Why we have gatherings of devotees, sanghas of devotees. And each one of us, not the person on the other side of the room or the other side of the house or the other side of the community, but each one of us should be internally striving for that connection, the connection with Krishna, and to be good association for those around us, in our family and in our community and in the temple and wherever the gatherings of devotees are. And that benefits others. And the best way we can benefit others, become attached to Krishna and attached to those who are attached to Krishna. So that's the principle that's being described. The next verse, I'll go there. What happens when that happens? What's the symptoms of one who has that attachment for a saintly person? When I was in New York at 26 Second Avenue, there was a young man, kind of free spirit type. He'd come to the center for the first time, and we had some exchange. He was asking lots of questions. He wanted to know what are the symptoms of a real teacher. How do we know? We go out into the spiritual marketplace. How do we know? In a personal conversation, earlier that week, he had spent several hours at a Buddhist place somewhere in New York doing Buddhist meditation, and the free spirit just felt, okay, it's over, I'm going to leave now. And the Buddhist master said, you know, don't leave, you continue and break through your restlessness. And he said, the way that he said it, I am not going back there again. Anyway, free spirit. So he wanted to know, how do I know who is a real teacher? Well, the symptoms are given in Bhagavad Gita in multiple places, so I gave him Bhagavad Gita in those places, references. But this next verse, 56, gives some, or it says it in the negative, that if you do this or that or the other thing, and there isn't detachment from the temporary or detachment from sense gratification, then you're really not getting the benefit. You may be getting some material benefit that results in elevation to the heavenly planets, but that's not the goal. The goal is attachment to Krishna, or attachment to transcendence, and in that attachment to transcendence, the slackening or lessening of the allure for sense gratification. It's a core message of the entire Bhagavatam. You've heard this before. Pravritti and Nivritti. And the bulk of the Vedas is the Pravritti path of progressive material enjoyment up to the heavenly planets and prospering in this life. And most people think that's it. Pravritti. And then there's Nivritti. That's the Bhagavatam's message. Progressive slackening or detachment from the expectation of happiness through the temporary. And that's possible by attachment to Sat, attachment to the eternal. And that's stable when it's attachment to the Supreme Person. Bhakti is that attachment to the Supreme Person, wishing to serve and please Him. And that carries one beyond the allure of pravritti. That, you know, the purpose of my Krishna consciousness, the barometer, the measures that I have for my Krishna consciousness is I prosper. My health gets better. And all the other kind of, you know, material measures of this is good. I like it because I'm prospering more and my health is better. And all those good things, very important things. All my creature needs are being met. That's the pravritti, and nirvritti is whether it's this or that. The attachment to the personality of Godhead has become stronger. So here's text 56. Anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life, anyone whose religious, ritualistic performance do not raise him to renunciation, and anyone situated in renunciation that does not lead him to devotional service to the personality of Godhead must be considered dead. Although he is breathing. That's Devahuti. It's not, you know, a sannyasi. This is the Bhagavatam's message. Purport. Devahuti's statement is that since she was attached to living with her husband for sense gratification, which does not lead to liberation from material entanglement, her life was simply a waste of time. Any work one performs that does not lead to the state of religious life is useless activity. Everyone is, by nature, inclined to some sort of work, and when that work leads one to religious life, and religious life leads one to renunciation, and renunciation leads one to devotional service, one attains the perfection of work. Nice sentence. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, any work that does not lead ultimately to the standard of devotional service is a cause of bondage in the material world. Yagnarthat karmano nyatra lokayam karma bandhana. Unless one is gradually elevated to the position of devotional service, beginning from his natural activity, he is to be considered a dead body. Work, which does not lead one to understanding of Krishna consciousness, is considered useless. Now these are, you know, pretty strong statements. Shama eva hi kevalam. Useless. Yeah, there's another way of looking at it, and that's, you know, it's, to some extent it's beneficial. That is, like making wet wood into dry wood. Better to be vegetarian than a non-vegetarian. But, you know, vegetarianism isn't the pinnacle. And so, better to be religious than irreligious. Better to be sense-controlled than not sense-controlled. But it's not just if you're impoverished, you're a spiritual person. That's not so. Lots of impoverished persons that are far from spiritual.
lots of wealthy people that are very spiritual, and also those that are not very spiritual. The Bhagavatam standard, the measure with which we evaluate things and examine, hold up to the light, is this enhancing my Krishna consciousness? The Bhagavatam's principles are to enhance our Krishna consciousness, whether it's this, or this, at these three different stages. Work that leads to religious principle. Religious principle that leads to renunciation. Renunciation that leads to Krishna consciousness. So now, back to the storyline. Devahuti is appealing. Of course, Kardamuni is giving it already. He's giving his association, and by giving his association, he's giving all these beneficial things. From her side, her heart is opening to receive that which he's already giving her. Her mood is a mood of humility. Naturally so, elevated persons have that mood. And she's wanting to receive this benedictory factor of her husband's association, not simply you're taking care of my sense gratification, but that attachment that I have for you, may it be transformed into devotional service. And that's her request. And Kardamuni is a pure devotee. I mean, remember, before he even met Devahuti, he, personality of Godhead, came before him and talked to him and blessed him. He's a pure, of course, Devahuti is also. He's a pure devotee, and she wants that devotional feature without the cloud or obfuscation of the material attraction that she may feel towards her husband, the material aspect of her attachment to her husband. She's praying for that benediction. Okay, so we have one microphone to share, right? Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I was trying to put together your lecture from last night and what we're discussing right now. It seems the sound vibration are very important internal or integral part of our devotional service. Majority of our day, although I was just kind of evaluating the time we spent throughout the day, majority of our day is spent discussing or talking about Krishna Katha or devotional reading. And today we're talking about that we should be striving internally to attach ourselves to Krishna. So how do we kind of put that together, or... yes. Yeah, or does it just come with time, or...
If I understand your question correctly, you want to know how to put together the internal cultivation of Krishna consciousness, that is striving with the right purpose in mind, while we're also encouraged to engage in the right activity, the external activity of hearing Krishna Katha and being cautious about hearing Prajalpa and idle conversation. And your question is, do they happen naturally? We don't have to make a separate endeavor for one. We just, or how do we put the two together? That's your question? Well, it's both. There's endeavor in Krishna consciousness is both, not just one. We must be striving sincerely to, say, receive the gift that's being extended to us. To receive the gift that's being extended to us, there are behaviors that are conducive to receive that gift that's being extended to us. So we're attentive to the behaviors, hearing and chanting, and even the qualitative way of hearing and chanting, or worshiping, or cooking, or thising and thatting, living our lives. We're interested in doing those things in a way that's pleasing to Krishna. But the higher principle is the internal cultivation while we're engaged in the external activity. So they go together. And one, the behavior part is a little easier than the other one, which is, you know, where our deeper attachments lie, which is attachment to the affinity, attachment to an affinity for enjoying independently, which means the same activity for sense gratification. I do because I like it. Or maybe even I do because I like austerity. Or I know that austerity will make me powerful, and so I don't want to be powerful, I don't want to be weak. Anyway, or something other than the internal purpose, the I want to please Krishna purpose. The effort is needed in both areas. We monitor the activity guided by the internal cultivation of wanting to please Krishna. Of the two, the internal cultivation is more important. Let's say it differently. On the platform of spontaneous devotion, the externals can be, need not be, if the internal mood of devotion is so strong and it's in conflict with the external regulation, then one may not do that external regulation. That's in the higher stages of bhakti. And otherwise, when even in the cultivation, internal cultivation of Krishna consciousness, one observes the behaviors that are prescribed. Is that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, how do I understand what is pleasing to Krishna, different situation?
Guru Sadhu Shastra. Well, the Guru Sadhu Shastra. And yet, it's similar to her question, it's not the same, but the clarity increases as purity increases. For example, let's say, I should take only Krishna Prasadam. So in the beginning, my understanding of why that instruction is there, what's important about it, I just accept it. And really, understand it so deeply. But as one progresses, the clarity of why that's so important becomes from purity, then the understanding of what's pleasing to Krishna and why, it becomes sharper, clearer, more in focus. The realization becomes deeper. But Guru Sadhu Shastra. That's how I know.
Guru Maharaj, want to ask, like I'm feeling stuck with taking that priority on internal cultivation, because like Mother Devahuti was saying, anyway, like, you know, I'm attached for sense gratification, but let your saintly association power, you know, influence me like that. So I'm kind of take shelter of that, you know, that understanding. So my question is, one is, should we need to explicitly mention always that it's for you, Krishna, like that? That's one part. And the second part is, I'm already trying to do the best I can. This is the best, so please, like, accept or something like that. So I'm feeling stuck on the cultivation of that internal part, Guru Maharaj.
Hope I captured all of it. Well, basically, he's saying that he is not able to, like, internally cultivate because he's feeling stuck in this aspect. So then he explained the scenario where he's feeling stuck. So Devahuti is expressing that she has been in this material entanglement, and she accepted Kardama Muni as, you know, as her husband and served, and, you know, but she's attached. And on the basis of his being a saintly person, you know, she wants that she get some benefit, although she didn't, you know, use it for the right purposes, so to say. So his feeling is two things. That one is that, you know, he feels like he wants to take shelter of Devahuti's statement because he's feeling that I'm just so stuck. I'm not able to, because feeling that I'm not able to do like this internal cultivation, let my attachment to saintly persons do whatever needs to happen. And that he feels that I'm already trying my best, and let my best be somehow accepted, even though it's not, you know, up to the mark, or I'm not able to internally cultivate as much. Is that, capture?
Same question as the first question. Just a little more complicated. The second part is clearer than the first part. The second part is, I'm doing my best, and I recognize it's not adequate. Now, what to do about that? Well, you can only do your best and count on the fact that Krishna is kind, and your best becomes better than it was before by spiritual progress. So you're looking for spiritual progress so that your best becomes even better. Or the reciprocation from Krishna permits you to become more determined, more fixed, more qualified, more spiritually empowered, and, you know, spiritual progress will come. Just by staying with the progress, with the process, to your best ability. Although, back to the frame of the question, although I recognize right now it's inadequate, it's insufficient, not up to the mark, as she said. So just stay with the process, with faith in the process. I am where I am. It's similar to that theme, acceptance and progress. Not acceptance and shrug your shoulders and become complacent, but acceptance and progress. Eager to receive descending mercy. Now, unfortunately, the first part is less clear to me than the second part. You want to say it again? I just skip the microphone. Just say it. Simple and clear. At the workplace. Well, that's. Let me ask you a question. If you were to grade yourself 1 to 10 in what I do in the workplace, what I do in my home, or what I do in the community, it's 10. I want to do it for Krishna. Okay. So that's back to the second one. You know, it's less than that. It's inadequate. But it's where I'm at. So now, wherever the field of activity is, of course, the shape that it takes is different in different venues because of the circumstance. But we want to cultivate. That's the bhakti principle. Anukulyena. That's the bhakti principle. Krishna should be pleased. So we cultivate that. And maybe you'll get a better score when you're setting up the microphone stand than, you know, when you're in the workplace or something. But you've cultivated in any case. Now, when you started your job or you started coming to the temple or you got married or whatever the other things that make up your life, it's not that in the very, very beginning, like Devahuti, that you did all those things because you saw them as paths to pure bhakti. There was the element, like Devahuti, that it was fulfilling some need. She's using the term sense gratification, but then Prabhupada also indicates that there's other needs that human beings as creatures have. And there's needs and needs, and so we do those things because they meet our needs. And because now involved in Krishna bhakti, far more than meeting my needs is what's available. And now I'm recognizing, wow, far more than meeting, I relate to Devahuti's situation. Far more is available, but I've wasted so much time simply seeking for meeting those needs. Through work and community and marriage and stuff, life. But a light has gone on that didn't go on before, that there's actually much more that each of these things can provide if I become attached in the right way. So that my attachment become the right way, but I'm not there yet. It's still down there to, you know, a half, maybe a one. But the light's on. And cultivate. Okay.
Maharaj,
I was just thinking about how to progress from the place of practicing devotional service out of fear to a much better place of practicing at least out of regard or respect. How do I cultivate, or what can I...
Adjust or recalibrate or refocus again and again and again and again and again, and just, you know, the my life mission is, and you know, refocus it and refocus it, and your life mission is manifest through the daily activities. I saw on a billboard yesterday, tomorrow begins today. Nice slogan. Had something to do with retirement plan, I think. But, I know where I want to be. And my understanding today of where I want to be is very different than when I was a new devotee. Where I want to be. And then, as I go forward, where I want to be, the focus will become clearer and better also. As long as I continue with the bhakti process properly. So, just reinvest, recommit, reevaluate, reconnect. Your life's mission. It's, you know, that'll help you again connect with, you know, the meaningful relationships that you have and the resources that Krishna has provided, the Bhagavatam and the Holy Name and everything. The connection gets revitalized. A life in the mode of goodness helps. Just taking a really mundane example. In my office in New York and the room where I stay in New York, there's this ionizer air filter. I just, out of curiosity, lifted it up. You know, you just pulled the thing, and it was yucky. You know, why did I get that thing? You know, I just was using it without even thinking of its purpose, just using it. But, you know, then you have to if you maintain it properly, then the use becomes even better. So, that's just a mundane example. So, why are we doing what we're doing? Doesn't mean, you know, it's a question out of doubt. Yeah, why am I putting on tilak? The purposefulness, the mindfulness, the Krishna consciousness of doing what we're doing. And so connecting in bhakti with the various activities of my life. You know, my life mission. What's really important to me. And revisit it. Then you're beyond fear. Then the Krishna connection is strong. Wherever I may be, the Krishna connection to my capacity to receive Krishna's mercy is strong. Because that's the active principle in my life. And then that bhakti can melt away or dismiss everything else. Doesn't mean it doesn't get cold in the winter and hot in the summer. Those things will happen. The duality around us will happen. But my consciousness remains fixed in all circumstances. Including addressing, you know, my habitual shortcomings, my chronic shortcomings, like the ones that keep bringing me back to a position that I know I don't like and it's uncomfortable. Bhakti can dissolve it. You're using your word, the position of fearlessness. Ishada Petasha. the parya yosmritihi, come to the position of attachment to Krishna, and attachment to pleasing Krishna, as indicated by Guru Sadhu Shastra. Not just do those activities, but do them from the heart, do them from the place where that's really what I want in my life. Not mechanical, devotional. That take one beyond fear. Yes? Take only Krishna Prasadam. Then you look at look through the lens of the scripture. What does it say about Krishna Prasadam and non-Krishna Prasadam? But that you can do that mechanically. And that's not wrong, but it's incomplete. You're not going to get the full realization of Guru Sadhu Shastra that way. But through Guru Sadhu, the realization should certainly match what Guru Sadhu Shastra says, and that will help you understand what's pleasing to Krishna.